We're going to be in 1 Corinthians. The whole chapter, chapter 15, is about the resurrection. And the first 11 verses, the Apostle Paul builds a case of why you can believe that Christ was raised from the dead. It's great stuff. We're going to pick it up, though. He takes a little bit of a different approach. He takes a dark approach. And he says, apparently there were people going around, like today, that are preaching a message or teaching or a message that says that there cannot be a general resurrection of believers. It's impossible. How all the dead people, all the people that are burned in fires, people lost at sea, how in the world? There can't be a resurrection. So these people apparently accepted that maybe Christ was raised in this kind of one-off miracle. Kind of a, you know, well, yeah, miracle. It's a miracle, but it's isolated, and so Paul's going to say, he's going to bring just some logic to say, okay, maybe you're right, but if you're right, and there's no resurrection of the dead, then there's some deep, dark implications if that's true. So if there's an intellectual college professor or there's somebody that's trying to, and they're like, ah, you know, death is the end of it, or death is just, you know, the soul escapes to some nirvana, you know, but the body is done. It's dead. It's done. Well, if that's true, Paul says, then there's these consequences. And so you can't have one thing without another. And so he's going to list a number of them. We're going to go through just really what it would be like on today at Easter if the resurrection wasn't real. So let's start in verse 12 of chapter 15 as he takes on this thought of denying that there is any resurrection of the dead. Talking about general. These people might have believed in Jesus, but he's going to say you can't have one without the other. So chapter 15, verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? Now, remember, we're talking dead bodies here. We're not talking about dead people whose souls are escaped. And well, if you go to most memorials, not one that we would preach, and I'm not saying all, but most memorials today make death going is they move off the resurrection and they make it about the soul going to heaven. And heaven takes the place of resurrection. Now, I'm not talking the Bible. I'm talking about wrong teaching. That there's a difference between heaven, the place where God dwells, and people that believe in Jesus go to be with him to wait, not to garden. Not to, there is no resurrection by death. Resurrection happens when the body comes back to life. So Paul says, if you say there is no bodily resurrection, here's the consequences to saying that. Verse 13, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. So that's the first radical thing to come to grips with, is say, okay, all this sounds good, that we're just, you know, resurrection is just, you know, some kind of a myth thing, religious thing. And Paul says, hey, if God can't raise everybody, he can't raise anybody. If he can't raise all of the people that believe in Jesus, he didn't raise Jesus. So he says, now, and if Christ isn't raised, look at the implication here. Number one, he says, if Christ has not been raised, verse 14, he said, our preaching is useless. Now, just stop there for a minute. Now, you may think that already. You may think, well, that's old white guy up there trying to, you know, talk about whatever he's talking about, and he gets loud sometimes and tells stupid stories. And there's times I've thought that about myself when I'm preaching, and I'm like, I don't know that I would listen to me, and it seems pretty foolish. You know, it's not very state-of-the-art TED Talk-ish nowadays, and you know, there's even if you try to share your story with someone, and you try to tell a friend about Jesus. And you're going to feel foolish. You're going to feel like this isn't going anywhere and it's not going to make a difference. Well, Paul says, no, it won't make a difference if Christ has not been raised from the dead. You can talk all you want, but a dead Jesus can't help anybody. You're preaching about a dead Jesus. That's not a hope that you can preach on. There's no good news. What if this morning the message was there is no Jesus resurrection? And because he wasn't raised, none of us are going to be raised. So I've got no good news for you this morning. I can tell you a couple little religious stories, try to make you feel better and take a little, put a Band-Aid on it. The reality is you got no hope. I got no good news. I've got nothing to tell you this morning. You wasted your time coming. What was the point? Why would you come if Jesus is dead? Why would you come if preaching is just foolishness? It's got no substance. It's got no hope to it. There's no power in it because a human being can't bring power to the gospel. We can't change. So basically this morning, you're stuck where you are. I have no good news for you, and you'll never be able to change. And that's just what it would be if there's no resurrection. Our preaching is useless. And then he says, and your faith is in vain. In verse 14, not only is your preaching useless, so is your faith. You talk to a dead Jesus? How's that going for you? It ain't going nowhere. If he's dead, you can't pray in the name of a dead Savior. Dear God, I come to you in the name of dead Jesus. And I ask in the name of dead Jesus that you will come and help me. And God says, I can't hear you because I don't listen to dead people. And they ain't going to make a difference. Your faith, what's the point of your faith? Why would you be in an Easter service this week? You could be doing a lot of other things. Some of you are thinking, yeah, I could have, but I got drunk here. All right, well, maybe it'll turn out good for you. Or maybe you can just agree that this faith thing is stupid. You're wasting time. People give their money, they're idiots. People give 10% of their income, they're idiots. Their faith is in vain. How do you trust a dead Jesus to bless you? Faith can't help you. There's no help in the dark. There's no prayers to be heard. Worship? You sang to a dead. I can't even hear you. He's dead. What's the point? Your faith is in vain. That's how the enemy wants you to feel. And that's how it would be if there is no resurrection. The third thing he says here is not only is your faith, verse 15, more than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he didn't raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, then we're misrepresenting God. I'm up here lying. You know, 50 years ago, almost my first Easter, it was 50 years ago. And I'd come to Christ radically in 1975, and it was a radical change. In my first Easter, I was going to seminary, I was home on break. My parents lived on Sanibel, and they had this big, giant sunrise service out on the causeway back then. And I go to it. I'm by myself. Nobody came with me, and this guy's up there, he's a professor, a president of one of the colleges, local. The title of his message was Eggshells and Seashells. And I'm there losing my mind. I'm 18, and I've met the living Lord Jesus Christ. He has transformed my life. And this guy's up there talking about chickens pecking out of their shell, putting their head out into a brave new world, and having a chicken new beginning. And I don't know what the seashell piece was, but I'm like, he's not mentioned Jesus yet, no resurrection. I'm like, what is this? This is... I come back around behind the stage, and then someone stops me, a security guy says, where are you going? I said, I got to help this guy. I said, this is what my wife's had to deal with for 50 years. I mean, there's good stubbornness and bad stubbornness, and whether this is good or bad, I don't know, but I'm going to get up there and I'm going to get the mic from him and I'm going to preach Jesus because there's a crowd. Now, I had friends that didn't think that was weird when we went to the rock concerts and they were drugged out of their minds and they would charge the stage or climb up on the speakers, and we just thought that was normal behavior to a drug idiot. Well, I'm normal behavior. I'm being bold as a lion. I'm going to go up there and preach Jesus to this crowd of people, and he's talking about chickens pecking out of their eggshell, and it's like, well, believe it or not, they didn't let me up there. I mean, come on. I often wonder if somebody came in here and said, give me the mic. I'm going to preach this morning. I'm saying, yeah, after the security tackles you and puts you on the ground. But maybe he was doing a better job than me. Maybe he was not misrepresenting God, because if there's no resurrection and you're preaching that to people, and you're preaching that you're a liar or you're a lunatic, you've been deceived, and you're misrepresenting God. That's a dark path. Not only are we misrepresenting God, but then he says in verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. This one is, to me, the darkest. It's bad to have foolish preaching. It's bad to have no faith value. It's bad to misrepresent God, but to say there's no salvation. If here's what we don't get, and the world doesn't get this. If Christ died on the cross, they take that as a nice, beautiful picture of loving sacrifice, and it is. But if he's still dead, then it's a worthless sacrifice. It has no value. When we sang, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. That blood can't do a thing if he's still in the grave. It took the resurrection for him to take that blood and present it as the offering for our sins. Now, if you got no redemption, you're sitting this morning before a holy God in filth and sinfulness. You're condemned. Your only hope would be to live a perfect life. None of you will do that. So you have no salvation. There's no forgiveness. Paul's taken us down this dark road of faithlessness. If there's no resurrection, it's the only thing that separates Christianity from every other faith in the world. There's no other. There's other faiths that, you know, they rode off into heaven on a white horse, or they, you know, they've entered into nirvana and they've been But there's no faith that says there was a dead Messiah buried 3 days, dead. And he came back to life. Same body, alive. There's no other faith that teaches that. There's no. So maybe we're foolish. Maybe we're deceived. If God doesn't raise the dead, then I'm still in my sins. You can beg God all day to forgive you, but there's no basis for him to do that. You say, well, because he's nice. God doesn't forgive because he's nice. He forgives because he's merciful and he paid the price. But if there's no price paid, if Christ's sacrifice is not good enough, which means if he wasn't raised from the dead, then there's no forgiveness of sins. And then Paul ends this dark, dark path with not only are we still in our sins, verse 18, those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Now think about that. I think of all the memorials I've done over the years. Children, teenagers, young. I never forget one I did, and they played this country song, Just One More Day. The husband, they had two little children. His wife died in her 30s. They played that. It should have been illegal, that song. Oh, my God, Just One More Day. He wanted one more day with his love of his life. His children have one more day. You know, I've sat and stood grief and pain, motorcycle wrecks, car wrecks, sudden heart attack, suicide. And I've preached a future when there is none if there's no resurrection. Death wins. Salvation is not fulfilled with a dead Jesus. And it's not fulfilled with a dead Jamie. If I'm not raised, then Christ wouldn't be raised. If Christ is raised, then I'd be. But if there's no hope for our dead loved ones, then it's over. You're just leaning into a religious myth that there's some ghostly part that you'll be up. No, death wins if there's no resurrection. Death controls who I am. I'm not who I am without this body. It's part of my being. It's not just something I travel in and I take it off like an old pair of clothes until God gives. No, it's part of me. And if Jesus didn't come out with his same body, and that was different, changed. But just think of the lostness. There is no, we had someone in the last service, a dear person. Her mother died yesterday. And what if I just look like, I got nothing to give you. She's lost. If there's no resurrection. Amen. Do you feel the darkness settle in? I mean, that's dark, hopeless, despair. A lot of people live there because they don't have any faith in God that he can raise the dead. They don't believe in Christ being raised, and they don't believe that God's going to literally raise physical bodies from the grave. And then Paul says this last thing that's kind of a little catchy in our culture. We may not grasp it fully, but verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. Now, in America, it's kind of hard to understand. If you lived in the Congo, if you lived in communist countries, if you lived in North Korea and had faith in Christ, if you lived in places where there's Muslim rule and you have faith in Christ, and there are believers in every one of those countries, they pay a massive price for their faith in Christ. And if there is no resurrection, you're an idiot to be suffering for a dead Jesus. You're an idiot to sacrifice for a dead Jesus. What would be the point? Just think of the sacrifices you did today. Just whatever it is. Why you came to church for a dead Jesus. We live with a future reward that's been given to us. But if it's not real, then what we suffer here, denying the flesh, not giving in to temptation, resisting evil, putting God first in life, honoring God with our finances, you're an idiot. Look at all the money you wasted. Paul says later in the chapter, verse 32, he says, in Ephesus, the city was there. We don't know fully all that this means. Verse 32, let's change it, 15:32. He says, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained if the dead aren't raised? We're not fully sure what the wild beast, could have been literal. There were Christians thrown in the lion's den. Did he have to go one-on-one with a leopard or a lion? Could it have been a monstrous, demonic, vicious, persecuting guard that had... I don't know what he had to deal with. But he didn't have to deal with it if he'd have denied Jesus. Amen. He didn't have to deal with it if he didn't say, I believe that Jesus is Lord. He said he could have had the motto, and he quotes it, let's eat and drink, and in other versions, and be merry. For tomorrow we'll die. In other words, let's live for the moment. Don't think about the future. I'm going to tell you something. If there's no resurrection, I'm out of here. I'm out fishing. I'm doing something. I would say playing golf, but that'd lose my mind doing that. But I'm still in bed. What are you doing here? That's where people feel sorry for Christians. They really do. Because they think we're deceived and stupid and we're wasting our lives. That poor, gave up this to follow Jesus. Gave up that to follow Jesus. What a waste. Yeah, it is. If there's no resurrection. Now, Paul can't stand it any longer. You got to bring emotions to the Bible. Okay? You can't just read it like verse 20. And Paul, he's taking us down this dark road. He can't stand it any longer. He gets to verse 20. Don't read it this way. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Come on. He's taken our face and rubbed it in. Dark, death, maggots, worms, hopelessness, despair. There's nothing without the resurrection. And then he says, but Christ has been raised. Amen. He blew his head off. He's like, yes. He does the happy dance. This is a guy that's been beaten and whipped and starved and spit on and tortured. And he says, come on. Now listen to me. He goes, now rewind the tape. Go back to verse 12. Now read it with verse 20 in mind. So where he says, verse 12, their preaching is in vain. Let me just tell you something. It's not in vain to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not in vain to tell your story to a friend. It's never in vain. Because when you're talking words, the power of Jesus comes through those words, through those scriptures, through those verses that you share. It's never in vain. I feel like that sometimes. I feel like, well, I'm not going to ever make a difference. I can't. The enemy will beat you up. He'll make you say, oh, you can't witness to someone. You can't could tell you, but the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Not the human preacher, but the message of Jesus comes with his living presence, sneaking into hearts right now and minds all over the room. I can't get in there. My emotions and I can't get in you, but he can. And he is, and he's knocking on the door, and he does it every time the gospel's preached. And he says, our preaching's not useless, it's not in vain, it's what brings hope to a world that needs change. You have no compelling message if there's no resurrection. You have nothing to offer. I have nothing to offer. I can just go be nice, and you know, God's love, and that isn't going to change a heart and bondage and sin and demons and lies. It's not going to help anybody. But when Jesus is preached as the living Lord who's present in the room right now, our preaching is not in vain. Our faith isn't in vain. You know, my wife and I have a dear friend, and I won't use his name. He's a pastor. And recently his wife has been diagnosed with breast cancer. They're younger than we are. But he's been preaching the same Jesus I've been preaching for a lot of years. He sent me this note. We meet with our oncologist on Friday. She'll get her port installed next Monday, anticipating chemo starting next week or the week before Easter. We're at peace. The Lord has been super close to us. We have a sense he's preparing us for a hard season. But that sense isn't accompanied by fear, only peace. Jamie, this may sound odd, but one joy during this season is knowing this Jesus stuff isn't fantasy. I can't tell you how many times I've had this thought. This stuff is real. I mean, he's been preaching it for years, just like I, but he's now in the middle of a dark valley with his bride suffering from breast cancer that can be lethal. This stuff is real. All his promises are real. Peace during the storms and troubles, real. Life on the rock, real. We've given our lives to Jesus. It's wonderful knowing it's all real. His faith is not in vain. I don't know which way it'll go. We're praying for miracles. We believe in a God that heals. We've seen God healed. We're standing with him for it. But they're the kind of people that it's real, even if it doesn't go the way we want it to go. Because we know that Christ has been risen. We know that our faith is never in vain. None of your prayers are in vain. None of your sacrifices are in vain. Your worship is not in vain. Your giving is not in vain. Your challenging of life to be a better person is not in vain because of your faith. Nothing is in vain when Christ has been raised from the grave and we also will be risen. Not only is your faith, I'm not misrepresenting God, the eggshell, seashell guy. He was misrepresenting God. He needed God to get in his face and say, you're an embarrassment. You don't know me and you're trying to talk about me. You've never experienced me and you're trying to preach me. You're a misrepresentation of what the kingdom of God is. You're preaching without head knowledge, without a heart on fire. If you've not met the living Lord Jesus, and there are preachers all over that are giving nice little homilies and nice little talks and nice little whatever, but there's no fire because they've not met him yet. When you've met him, you're not talking about theory. You're not talking about religious ideas. You're not talking about chickens pecking through an eggshell. You're talking about a stone that got rolled away and a Jesus that walked out of the stone and said, I am a resurrection and the life. So the good news is our faith isn't in vain. We're not misrepresenting God. And I'm not in my sins anymore because I've stood before a Jesus that died and God vindicated him by raising him from the dead, accepting his sacrifice for the payment of my sins. I've been forgiven. I know because he's been raised from the dead. Yes, he died on the cross, but the cross and the resurrection are intimately tied. You cannot have one without the other. They go together. And when he was raised, he released the power forgiveness. So when we say to people as we do this morning, welcome home, your sins are forgiven. Not to wear anything, but we say it on the basis of the authority of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not in my sins. I've been forgiven. I stand before God washed. So we sing that song, not out of performance and achieving and trying to get God to like me, but because Jesus was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Come on. Every now and then I'm reminded you're just a lot of white people, but I need some help here. I need some help. That was good preaching right there. That didn't, that was, that one. Yes, hi. That's good. That's good. Come on. Marcella, you got to help these people sometimes. You got to help them. If this doesn't light your fire, I don't know what could. I mean, this is real. When you got a guy standing there watching his wife cook through kibo, who he loves, and he's preached Jesus to people for years and prayed over the sick, and he said, this Jesus stuff is no fantasy. You've got to come to grips with that at some point in your life. Is this just a religious little churchy thing, or is this something that can change my life? Is this something worth giving my life to? Is this something worth sacrificing for? Is there something here that's bigger than eating and drinking and being happy? Is there something coming that's worth living for and worth not being afraid of dying? Is there something here that's real that can make a difference in your life with your children and your marriage and your walk and daily life? Is there something here that Paul says, but Christ is risen? Your faith is not in vain. You're not stuck in your sins and your loved ones that have died that know Jesus. They're waiting on the resurrection. They're not lost. They're going to bust out of that grave. They're going to be born anew in a sense. Their bodies, not some different body, different, but brand the same person. It's not, when I preached funerals for years, I told people, see that dead body laying in the casket? I'd say, that's not really who they are. Amen. No, too quick. That's not. But that's what I believed for years. I'd say, that's not really them. That's just kind of the carton they walked around in. And the Lord said to me, through some good teaching, and he said, that's heresy. Heresy is false teaching. If that body is who, if that's my body laying there, that's Jamie. Now, my soul, to be dead, depart, is to be with Christ. But I'm not whole. I'm missing me. I'm in that box. I'm in that casket. That's me. And if me stays there, then death wins. If you bury me, it don't matter if you burn me, cremate me, worms get me, doesn't matter. If that body is done, then I'm done. I've got to have that body to be part of me. Without that body, that I'm made in the image of God, that's me. Now, when he makes that body new at the resurrection, it's going to be without any imperfections, no disabilities, no mortalities, no disease, no limitations of that nature. It's going to be Jamie, though. I'm going to be a white guy. Sadly. I had a vision one time in Congo, Africa, and I was deathly sick. And I had food poisoning. And I mean, I was sick. I almost died. It was bad. But I had this vision. I'd seen the African choir, and I saw this heavenly choir of African women singing. And this, it was like 1001, 1002, 1003. It was gone. I saw the beauty of their dark skin with the colors of the clothes that they wore, and I literally felt sorry for myself being white in that dream. I thought, how pasty pale. That's just sad. White bread is just kind of, you got to toast it to get a little color in it. You got to do something. Lay out in the sun a while, you know, see if you can't darken him up a little bit. Put those pants back on. Those legs ain't seen the sun. I got, they look like two little popsicles hanging down there. It's going to be you, but the best redeemed you will ever be forever. It was Jesus, but he had the scars in his hand. It was the same Jesus transformed. He still ate. They hugged him. They felt him. There was a physicalness to his body, but it was transformed supernaturally. But he still ate food, but he can walk through walls. I mean, I don't get it all what it's going to be like, but it's going to be a body that'll never know disease, never know pain, never know sorrow, never know death. It's a body that will live forever. And I'm going for that one, baby. Come on. Yes. So don't feel sorry for me. Like Paul said, Christians are to be pitied if that's all we have is here. But that ain't all we have. The people to feel sorry for are those that eat, drink, and be merry because they got no hope for a future. That's who we feel sorry for. Not for Christians that have to suffer. Not for Christians that get persecuted. Not for Christians that die for their faith. Do not feel sorry for them. You can mourn their loss, but rejoice in where they are and what's coming in the resurrection and their beautiful glorious bodies that God's going to call forth out of this earth and join him. It's going to be an amazing, as they say, getting up morning. Great getting up morning when the resurrection. But if Christ isn't raised, then all of that's just foolish preaching. But if he is raised, then all the stakes are in the center of the pile. All the chips are pushed in and say, okay, what's your bet here? I'm going to go for Jesus being raised, God being true, the Bible being the Word of God, and he changed my life. I'm going to go for that over the chickens pecking themselves out of the egg and a seashell doing whatever. I don't know what his point was about the seashell. I feel for that guy, but if his wife had breast cancer, he's got that chicken pecking out of that egg and going to help his wife. But that Jesus that rolled away the stone, he's going to help that wife. He's going to step in into that room. He's going to wrap his arms around that person that lost their mother yesterday. He's going to love on them and hug on them, and he's going to breathe hope and life into their souls because he's the living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment. Just can you believe with Paul that Christ is risen, and that the implication is you can't separate his resurrection from the promise of our resurrection. It's not just Jesus is raised, is that because he's raised, he's the first fruits, he's the first of the coming resurrection, that he will raise every believer out of that grave, whatever form their death took. Death lost at the resurrection of Christ. Death has been defeated. It's still got its ugly sting until Christ returns and forever banishes it. But for now, your world, your life, doesn't have to be built on some religious fable that you hope is true. It's built on a living Lord Jesus Christ who will make himself real to you today. Doesn't mean all your life's going to be easy and all your problems are going to go away. No, it means God loves you, that he died for you, that all your sins are going to be released, that he's going to give you the gift of eternal life. He's going to bring peace into your heart, knowing your sins have been forgiven. You say, what do I do, Pastor? What do I do? It's not what you do, it's what he's already done. He died for you. He rose from the dead. So can it move from being just a religious idea or some church deal to being personal to you today? Just by a simple prayer saying, Jesus, come be Lord of my life, inviting. Forgive my sins that you died for. I choose to receive you as my resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Just invite him online, wherever you're watching, listening. Just invite him to come in. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray for courage for those that are whispering that prayer right now. Let them know that you've heard them. They don't have to shout for you to hear. You can read their hearts, their minds, their whispers. Jesus, I thank you that their faith will not be in vain, that when they call upon you, you will answer and give them eternal life. Lord, bless this time of commitment, Lord. Give them courage to take a stand today.